I have been working out at a gym near here since it opened about 4 years ago, and I have been surprised at how real the whole go to the gym resolution shows up every January. Classes often double in size in early January until about mid-February when the numbers drop significantly. Now, of course, this is just one gym in one city, but I do wonder how this plays out in other spaces. And I have been there. For many years, I made the big goals in the light of everything new and fresh and undisturbed on that first day in January. In fact, I've always loved New Year's, and for a long time, it was my favorite holiday. Thinking about what changes I wanted in my life that I could call a resolution seemed a bit magical. And it felt to me that magic was needed to help make those changes, since they were often major life changes. I have had to learn the hard lesson that I am not the type of person who can do anything every single day for forever. My energy level and interest changes and fluctuates. And that this meant what felt like to me a lot of failed resolutions. While I do still appreciate this cultural ritual, it is more about the turning of the year that I find meaningful now, similar to the service that we will do next Sunday, taking time to look back on this calendar year and both give thanks for what has been in my life and let go of what needs to be released. Because I love new beginnings, any new beginnings. And let's be real, as we embark on a new decade, it feels even bigger this year. In thinking about talking about this topic today, so close to the new year, I wondered where New Year's resolutions came from and how we arrived at these practices. It's likely that the ancient Babylonians were the first people to make New Year's resolutions about 4,000 years ago. They were also the first to hold recording celebrations in honor of the new year, though for them, the year began not in January, but in mid-March, when the crops were planted. During a massive 12-day religious festival known as Akitu, the Babylonians made promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any objects they had borrowed. These promises could be considered the forerunners of our New Year's resolutions. If the Babylonians kept to their word, their pagan gods would bestow favor on them for the coming year. And if not, they would fall out of God's favor, a place no one wanted to be. A similar practice occurred in ancient Rome after the emperor Julius Caesar tinkered with the calendar and established January 1st as the beginning of the new year, circa 46 BCE. Named for Janus, the two-faced god whose spirit inhabited doorways and arches, January had special significance for the Romans. Believing that Janus symbolically looked backward into the previous year and ahead into the future, the Romans offered sacrifices to the deity and made promises of good conduct for the coming year. For early Christians, the first day of the new year became the traditional occasion for thinking about one's past mistakes and resolving to do and be better in the future. I like that. Thinking about one's past mistakes and resolving to do better. Common current resolutions are often about saving money, eating healthier, learning a new skill or hobby, or maybe my favorite one that came up on a Google search, living life to the fullest. These types of resolutions are like the ones I fell into the trap of trying. They are really big goals, and maybe things that should be started at another time other than the dead of winter. When I learned to give myself more options to restart and set goals than just once per year, I find that I not only make more realistic goals that are true to what I need at that moment in time, but also it helps me feel like less of a failure if I'm not continuing them in February. I know my next opportunity to start again is just around the corner. As I've shown you in the Wonder Box, pagans follow a wheel of the year. There is no beginning, which means there is no end. Instead, I would say that there are many ways to lift up and highlight new beginnings and endings throughout the year. We do this in different ways for each Sabbath or holiday that is spaced equally throughout the year. Each Sabbath follows the natural rhythms of the world and helps us connect to those in a deeper way. Some of us also celebrate the Esbats, or the lunar or moon cycle, at either the new or full moon. Each lunar cycle allows us to start again wherever we are. In each cycle, we are invited to follow the moon. At the new moon, we are invited to rest and retreat as a true new beginning. The waxing moon, when it goes from dark to full, is for setting intention and then acting on those goals and desires. The full moon gives us the most energy that we can utilize in many ways. The waning moon, which is when it starts to darken, is the time to show gratitude and find ways to forgive and release what no longer serves until it is time to rest again. So we don't have to wait until January, but instead we get to have a restart 13 times every year. Each day also brings a new beginning. And according to Rabbi Joseph Metzler, who writes, there is a blessing and a curse to starting over. The curse is that, in fact, every single day we start from scratch. Whatever you think you accomplished yesterday, whatever you did or tried to do, whatever happened in the past, well, it's stuck in yesterday. People who have gone through 12-step programs know this all too well. So you resisted having a drink or overeating yesterday. Unfortunately, you wake up and you have to do it all over again today. And on the more supposedly mundane level, so you said, "I love you" yesterday to your spouse, children, or parents. So you acted kindly yesterday. Today is a whole new world. You cannot rest on your laurels. But that is also where the blessing comes in. How many times have I said to myself after an especially trying day, "Well, tomorrow is a new day. The sun is going to set, and then it will come up. This too shall pass. Tomorrow I get to start again." Or if that's even too long for you to wait, Buddhist teacher and author Sharon Salzberg says, quote, "That's life, starting over, one breath at a time," end quote. Because even in the breath, there is a cycle, a beginning, a middle, and an end. You just have to pay attention. So let's do a quick meditation on the breath, courtesy of Ellen Saltonstall. I invite you to close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing so, or maybe settle into your chair more firmly or visualize the ground beneath us. Take a deep breath, filling yourself with prana, the life force in the air. Then exhale until you've let out all the air, letting it subside naturally like a wave in the ocean. Reflect on the passage of that moment in time, the rhythm of it. The inhale is a new beginning, offering fresh energy. Then the natural pause at the top is a time for assimilation. And the exhale is a release or settling. Take three more conscious breaths on your own, and then open your eyes and come back to the room. Saltonstall goes on to tell us that so many cycles of time have these elements: creation, sustenance, dissolution, three of the cosmic acts according to Hinduism. We know that conscious deep breathing is physically healing. It lowers blood pressure, boosts the immune system, and reduces emotional stress by shifting the nervous system to a calmer state. And best of all, It's easy to do wherever you are at. All of the cycles I have talked about invite us to pause, rest, and relax at some point. When we talk about our four seasons, it's easy to see when we are supposed to slow down, or you could say hibernate. Now, of course, not everything in our lives can accommodate actual hibernation, but we can think about it as a time for more rest. We can try to prioritize differently in this dark season than in the summer, when many of us are at full energy. Our culture tells us that we should be at that summer energy all the time, but that is truly not sustainable. We should remember that by date, our seasons are actually balanced, but I know it often doesn't feel that way. I actually have a tattoo on my forearm of a leaf to remind myself that no matter how long the winter, the spring always comes. My tattoo is because I personally really need this reminder. Like I've mentioned, for many years of my life, I actively disliked the cold and dark season. I would hope that there wouldn't be snow until after my birthday in early December. I would complain a lot. I would hold myself in and watch too much television and not do the things that I truly need to feel balanced, which includes spending time with friends, being in nature, and just getting out of the rut that I would create for myself. Truthfully, I'm still not good at this. I haven't found the right winter activity to get myself outside. Remember, I am a pagan, so being in nature is really important for me and my spirit. But I just ignore that need because I don't want to be cold. And before some of you say it to me in the lobby, it's not actually how much clothing I need to wear. I'm still cold. But what I am trying to do this year is to just stop fighting the season that I'm in, simply surrendering to it and being honest with myself as to what I need. So there are nights when I'm on the couch under blankets watching Netflix. But other times when I question myself, I sometimes choose a book instead or contact a friend. Everyone has to figure this out for themselves. What works for me may not be right for you. And winter might be your favorite season. I love knowing people who love the cold and snow because I try to think of them instead of complaining so much. We see seasons and cycles in other areas of our lives too. Relationships, aging, our jobs. Most things in our lives cycle through different stages. I have to share that when I planned to talk about this topic months ago, I didn't realize how much I would need to hear this message. And I'll just say it, how much I kind of hate it right now. I recently said goodbye to my beloved cat of 16 years, Snowball. Now, let's be real. I have intimate experiences of the phases, seasons, and cycles of relationships. And they have all taught me something. But this is another matter altogether, partly because Snowball was with me throughout all of the changes in my life for the past 16 years. She was my constant companion through becoming a parent in all of the many life stages that has come through Nate's 13 years. She was part of job changes and evolutions, 4 moves, changes with friends, relationships, and my own growth. So much growth. And now I have to do this without her. I know that I will, but honestly, I haven't figured out how yet. This grief I feel will be its own season. My grief is always there, in the background, just touching my heart gently, but then sometimes it comes crashing in. Especially when I automatically look for her when I open the front door, or when I wish she was sleeping in my lap while I read with Nate. This grief is not something that can be fixed, either by getting a new cat, although I will, or through anything but time to allow the season to continue to pass. I will always hold her in my heart. That will never change, but the acuteness of the grief will subside. You may be going through a season of challenge that has nothing to do with the weather. Just like our seasons, you may find that something lasts longer than it seems like it should, or you hope something will last longer than it will. Know that you are not alone. There is always someone with a listening ear here or a kind presence to acknowledge your pain. So whether you celebrate one of the many New Years as your own new beginning, or celebrate with the moon, the sun, or with each breath, I hope that this is an invitation to be present to here and now in whatever season you find yourself in. May it be so, and blessed be.